Luke chapter 12. Jesus talked about, and I don't think I have here, marriage. But he spoke about marriage from his perspective, from his hometown of Nazareth, from the region of Galilee. It's a little different. Even when we look at the Jewish traditions, there were some things that were specific to his region, which for those especially that he taught, when he taught about marriage, talked about marriage, even in reference, they were able to grasp it. And it's so important for us as we look at the Bible to be able to reach back to those customs and traditions that made sense to them. You know, we talked about the fig. Well, it made sense. They knew more about the agricultural side of that, or grapes. And it makes more sense when you develop and you grow and, you know, you come upon a field and you remove the stones and you make a barrier around it or a fence around it with the stones. It makes more sense when you talk about the shepherd and you're talking to shepherds about the shepherd. And so when he told these things, there were some specifics that helped them to really connect with what he was trying to say. And in Luke chapter 12 and verse 35, he says, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Ye yourselves," verse 36, "like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately." A young man would tell his father, "I have found a wife." And then the father would have to go to the family and make arrangements. Is this going to work out? You know, they had to work it out between the families. Are they going to be able to get married? And then the son would spend a year about in preparation for that wedding, for the marriage supper. You know, he talks about that. But the groom, that was the groom's responsibility. And he would have to add on to the father's house. He would add on a place, might say a room, where his bride and he could live. Isn't that what Jesus said? "I go to prepare a place for you." All those things that he spoke about were significant to those who lived where he lived. They understood how weddings worked. They understood how marriages began. That man would go home and he would add on to the house and he would prepare the room and everything would be just right. And he would organize the meal, the marriage supper and the whatever they would have, tables and the wine and the food and how many people. And he'd have to make sure he had saved enough money, worked enough so that the supply, the provisions would be sufficient for the amount of people that would show. And it all fell on him. But as that year began to close, the bride-to-be would be in preparation herself. And she would have with her bridal party. Remember, we hear about those 10 virgins. And some had their lamps trimmed and some did not. Some were ready. What did he say in verse 5? "Let your loins be girt about and your lights burning." You see, once we start drawing near to that marriage supper, we're supposed to be in great preparation and readiness. There's not to be a time when we're not ready to go. And I wonder, when it comes to our lives, we see the signs that we are drawing near to that time of the marriage supper. We see that we're getting close to the time when Christ will call his bride and say, "It's time." And if he comes at night or midday, will we be ready? Right? We have all those songs that talk about it. And that was the idea here in verse 35. He says, let your loins be girt about. So many times we'll go and visit with someone, knock on their door, and they'll say, "Hang on, I got to go get some clothes on." I hope they just meant change some clothes, but anyway. They got to get girt about. They got to get covered up. They have to be ready to receive some company. And he says, and your light's burning. What does that mean? When your light's burning, if I have guests come over and stay at the house, I always leave the light on at the front. So they'll know that, you know, even if it's 11 o'clock, we're ready. We're open. So they can come in and do whatever they need to do or however it works. But the light would be on so that they know that we're ready. And we do that, you know, as a community. We have our light on. That means, okay, somebody's home and ready to receive you. Even Motel 6 leaves the light on. Why? That's the idea. It's to show we're ready. We're ready. Light's burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. The Lord being that groom. You see, nobody knows when the wedding will actually take place. Nobody knows when the celebration will actually be. Except the Father. The Father's the only one. The Son's getting ready. He's getting everything ready. He says, Dad, I'm close. Dad says, okay, son, we'll see. He's getting ready. I'm getting all the food organized, getting everything. Well, we're ready. We have enough for everybody. We'll see. But only the Father can say, son, go get your bride. Only the Father can say that. Isn't that exciting? The Father says, go get your bride. And if it is in the nighttime, he calls out and he says, you're invited to the supper. You're invited to the supper. And some say, oh, I've just gone into bed and my children are sleeping, right? The Bible says. Oh, I've sold some land and I have to go look at it. I bought a beast and I need to go check on it. I've got all these excuses why now is not a convenient time. And if Jesus comes back tonight, are we ready to go? He says, let your loins be girt. Be ready. Don't say, well, hang on just a second. Let me go grab my coat. No, now. You see, when the sun came through to get the bride and the parade would come through the street from her house to the celebration and they would shout and what would they do? Blow a trumpet. Hey, sounds familiar, doesn't it? And when the trumpet sounds, either you're ready to go or you're not. And I hear so many people say, I'm listening for the sound of the trumpet. Are you ready to go or not? The trumpet sounds in the celebration and probably some of those, you know, different tambourines or whatever, making noise. What's that? Noisemakers. Oh, kids. Oh, noisemakers. All right. So, but they're coming through the streets and they're knocking on, hey, it's time to go. Hey, it's time to go. And then they get down to the Father's house, where the marriage supper has been prepared. And they open the doors and everyone comes in. And when the last person in line comes in, guess what they do? They shut the door. And there'll be some who come and they'll say, we know you. Remember, I'm your friend from down the road. Hey, don't you remember? I was working in your name. I was doing things you told me to do. I'm your employee. He'll say, nah, depart. The door's been shut. Guys, that's the way it's going to be. That is the picture. Now look, when he uses, we've just referenced a lot of different places through the New Testament, haven't we? Through the Gospels. And even some in the Old Testament. But when Jesus talked about the marriage, these people knew exactly what he was talking. It was part of their daily lives. And they understood when the trumpet blows, it's time to go. And when the knock at the door comes, you've got to be ready. And you've got to have your lamp trimmed and ready. And you've got to have oil in your lamp. Because once the last person in that entourage enters into the door and the door is shut, that's it. No one else is welcome. And that celebration could go on a week. And you'll be shut out for that period of time. He says, verse 36, like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Immediately. See, now we're talking about the celebration, the banquet. Verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Wouldn't you be there? I've talked so many times. Do y'all ever do that when you're expecting a package and you know what time the FedEx guy is supposed to be there? And you're looking and you're waiting and you say, he's supposed to be here. Or the mailman, he's supposed to be here by now. Or the UPS guy, he's supposed to be here by now. Or somebody's coming to pick you up and they say, I'm going to be there at 2 o'clock. And you start looking about quarter till 2, wondering where they are. That's the attitude. Jesus says you can discern the signs of the seasons and the sky. Can you not discern the signs of the time? Can we not tell that we are getting so close? Can we not tell how near we are? Look, there's a point at which we'll all be called up, which we refer to as the rapture. But there are other signs of individuals, aren't there? Of drawing near. Right? And Solomon talked about that. In Ecclesiastes, he talks about, you know, your teeth aren't what they used to be, and your eyes aren't what they used to be, and your hearing's not what it used to be, and your walk is not what it used to be. And some of us are feeling some signs, aren't we? Say, boy, it's getting close. And we don't know how close it is, right? Somebody dies at 42, and we say, that was so young. Somebody dies at 90, and they look back, and they go, boy, that was quick. That came quickly. 90 years, and you know, I was telling Timothy on Monday, 50 years used to sound a lot older than it does now. But that's the reality. There are signs that I am getting closer and you are getting closer and we are getting closer. So whether we go, as Brother Ed would say, I see you here, there, or in the air, right? We may see you here. We may go by way of the grave, or we may go by way of the rapture. Don't know, but we know where we're going. I don't think I've finished reading that verse yet. He shall find, verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. You ever look at the sky and wonder? Could today be the day? Could now be the time? Verily I say to you, he shall gird himself. He's going to be ready to go. He's not going to say, hang on, let me grab my coat. Let me go back inside real quick. Let me go say goodbye to my family. Remember, he said, come with me. Let me go back and bury my father. And he didn't mean his dad's funeral was imminent. He meant, you know, let me wait till my dad dies and settle the account, and then I'll come back. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. We can't wait. This is urgent. He shall find watching that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat. This is the marriage supper, and will come forth and serve them. Verse 38, if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them, so blessed are those servants. I don't know if any of us are sitting up at night looking at the sky, waiting, trying to get some sleep and get caught up and get some rest. Hey, if you're up, might as well look up and see if he's coming. Listen for that trumpet. The other day, I had an out-of-body experience, I said. My spirit left my body. Y'all ever heard a train? I was mowing the grass, and you know, we back up to the train tracks. And when you're on the lawnmower, you're kind of in tune to everything, aren't you, brother? You're listening to every little spindle and every little, make sure it runs right with moon. And if something's off, you go, oh, so I shouldn't have made that noise. As I'm just riding along in tune with that lawnmower, and all of a sudden that train hit his horn. Spirit came out, came back. That would have been something to see. I looked to see if he was smiling when he went by. But that's the sound it's going to make. Isn't that going to be something? Well, that'll take your spirit right out of your body. Won't be any problem. He blows that horn. And that trumpet sounds, it's going to shake the world. It's going to be an incredible time. Might be in the third watch. Might be before the breaking of the day. We don't know when he's coming. Don't know. I figured he'd be here years ago. So did Paul. But he's got a calendar set. Meanwhile, the bride and the groom are supposed to be making preparations, supposed to be always ready for when the Father says, it's time. Are we ready? Are we ready now? Are we ready at church? Are we ready when we leave? Are we ready on Monday, Tuesday, through the week? Are we ready? Does Friday night or Saturday night find us in places that shows that we're not ready? Or Tuesday afternoon show us in places that shows that we're not ready? Verse 39 is, this know, that if the good man of the house had known in what hour the thief would come, he would have watched. Y'all ever had to do that? Somebody breaking in your stuff and you thought, I'll show him, I'll sit up tonight and wait for him. Y'all never did that? Dad used to work security, and there's been times where he'd say, come on, go with me. We'd sit in the truck and just sit, you know, blacked out, waiting for that thief to come back. Of course, every time you sit there, guess what? Thief doesn't come back. But he said, if the good man in the house had known what hour, he'd have been ready. But see, what happens is, what do? We just get busy living. We're doing our thing, and then we come home, and guess what? The thief came. And if we get too busy, we're not going to recognize that it's time. Verse 40, be ye therefore ready also. For the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. I've heard predictions. We look at, really, you look at the fulfillment of prophecy. You look at all of the signs that match with the signs of Revelation. Like I said this morning, those signs usually, if you put them over the tribulation period, that's what they reflect. We say, well, we're not in the tribulation, but we're in that final stretch. Everything's ready. So you say, well, I don't know if I believe in all that rapture stuff. Well, you look at all the signs of the prophecy, and you better start believing in it. Because it's all there. We better be ready. It says at an hour when you think not. Somebody told me, this has probably been 10 or 15 years ago. He said, well, Pastor, I just think it's probably going to be another 1,000 years before the Lord comes back. I don't know how you could ever come to that conclusion. When Paul 2,000 years ago said it was coming then, he was ready then. Say, well, he was wrong, but he was ready. That's the difference. Verse 41, Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat and to drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in the day when he looketh not for him. Why? Because he said in his heart, oh, I got time. I got time. You see, that's the problem. We think we have time. We think we have time because we're young. We think we have time because we're healthy. We think we have time because even Jesus, even the Bible predicted that people say, where is the promise of his coming? Right? He hadn't come all these years. Why do you think he's going to come now? The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now go back up to verse 42, and it says, the portion of meat in due season. What are we talking about? We're still talking about that supper, aren't we? We're still talking about that trumpet blowing and that knock coming, and that we should be girt about and have our lamps trimmed and ready to go and oil in our lamp. Because if we linger, if we hesitate, if we're not ready, if we say, well, I'll get ready when he comes. And people say that. Well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jesus. It'll be too late. He sent you his word. He sent you his spirit. He sent you his messengers. He sent you his church. We better figure it out now. Because the door will be shut. Well, what am I going to get to eat? You get to eat with the ones that didn't believe I was coming. That's where you get to eat. Verse 47, that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself. Neither did according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. You know, it's one thing to be lazy. It's a whole nother thing to be flippant. And I meet a lot of people that are flippant and arrogant toward God. It's not that they don't believe. They don't care. They've had enough of church. They've had enough of God. They've had enough of Jesus. And they don't care. They believe it. But they say, I'm going to heaven anyway. Why do I have to work for it? Why do I have to do anything? God says they won't be unpunished. God says they'll be beaten with many stripes. And I know that's, you know, an illustration. But the point is, there's going to be suffering. There's going to be sorrow. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Because there won't be any denying it then. Verse 48, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. See the difference? People say, well, what about those ones in the far back reaches of the jungle who never heard the gospel? You know what God says? God says he can taper his judgment. You read it in the Bible. I'm not making it up. He said he can taper his judgment. So I don't have a conflict with that truth. Unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And we're blessed, aren't we? Man, we're blessed. The precious word of God, that we have the ability to pick this up and read it anytime we want to. You know, I think of people in our time where they weren't able to read anymore because of their eyesight. And they went to listening to it because they wanted the Word of God. They wanted to hear it. And they had that ability. To whom much is given, whosoever much is given of him shall much be required. To whom men have committed much of him, they will ask more. Isn't that true? You see, we're accountable for our actions, and we're accountable for our knowledge. Look at my children, and I think of all that they've got, all the opportunity that they've got when it comes to the Word of God. If they don't make hundreds on their Bible tests, I want to know why. They've grown up in church. They've heard it every week. They hear it at home. They hear it in the car. They hear it everywhere. We've got so much access to the Bible and to God and to godly things, we should not be ignorant of His truth. And there's no excuse for it. We have got to get ready, because I believe, based on my understanding of scriptures, that it could be any time. And we must be ready. Let's stand. Father, we love you so much, and we're thankful for the privilege that we have to come in here and open your word and study it and share it and discuss it. Lord, we thank you for the truth of a readiness, of a time that is near. We look forward to being in heaven. It's not that we don't love this life. There are so many blessings here, so many opportunities, and so much satisfaction in the things that we do for you. Lord, we're ready to come home. We long to be with you and to be in your city. Dismiss us now with your grace. Bring us back again safely. Guide us as we go into the business of the church. In Jesus' name, amen.